Toway, Northwest London, Wednesday, Test Vov Sivan, 26th of May, Rabbi Gary Bazak Shlita, Parsha theme.
A little bit of Dutch courage. Okay. So, Parshas Bar Losecha is actually, if you think about it, it's a very exciting parasha. There's a lot that happens in it. But if you try and identify, it says that the topic I'm speaking about is parasha theme. So there should be a theme to the parasha. And in most parashas, you can normally find the theme pretty easily. When it comes to Parashas Bar Losecha, it's actually quite difficult to find any type of theme whatsoever, because it is just a mixture of so many different elements that it's quite difficult. So I wanted to try and go through some of the elements, ask some questions, and then hopefully bring it together to try and work out what the theme is of the parasha. Okay. So first of all, famously, the parasha starts with a smichas aparshias. Rashi asks, why we just finished off with the Chanukah Samishkan, and we've had all the korbanos of the Nesiim, and now we're moving on to Bar Losecha, lighting of the menorah. What's the kesher between the two? So Rashi answers. Rashi says, "Lefi kashira Aaron Chanukah Samishkan chal shadaito." When Aaron saw the Chanukah Sanasiyim, that they were all involved in this, and that he was Shelo Haya Imayim beChanukah, Lo Hu Velo Shivto, he had Chalisha Sadas. Why am I not involved in this whole? Why am I not involved in this thing? This is terrible. They're terrible. Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Hakadosh Baruch Hu said, "No, Shel Chagadolim Shelahem, Shatam Madlik Umeitiv Asaneris, because you're lighting the candles. You're lighting the menorah. Yours is bigger than theirs." So, I mean, the obvious question is, what do you mean you're lighting? Aaron HaKohen didn't do anything else in the Mishkan. Aaron HaKohen, even during the Yemei HaMiluim, he was doing things because there were korbanos going on. Right? Once we had the first of Nisan, then after that there was basically avoda going on all the time. So what was the Chalish Zadas? He's the one being Ovid in the Mishkan. Right? Doesn't seem to be very reasonable. Pardon? I hear not a special one, but there's a bigger kasher as well. There's a bigger kasher as well, which is. So the simplest understanding of that question is the fact that it wasn't, as you said, the special one. It wasn't the Chanukah of the Mizbeach, of the Mishkan. I understand I'm going to be involved in the Avoda, but I'm not involved in the Chanukah of the Mishkan, and that's bothering me. But this is the question, and it's quite a bothersome question. Why was it that the Nesiim were all involved in the Chanukah of the Mishkan? I'll tell you why. Because they were misnadiv. They came along and they said, "We want to get involved." They said, "We want to do this." Moshe Rabbeinu didn't even want to be mekabel their certain elements of the agolos and things like that. He didn't, and until HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, no, accept them. Because there wasn't a chayva that they had to do it. They came along and they were misnadiv. So mimanoshach, either you should have been misnadiv. In which case, what's your taina? Or, for some reason, you shouldn't have been Miss Nadev. In which case, what's your taina? Whichever way around, what's the question? I mean, they got involved. You didn't get involved. Say, it's not fair. How come they're involved in the Chanukah? Because they stepped up. That's not fair. You could have stepped up. Why didn't you? So it seems very strange. What's going on? What was Aaron HaKohen's Chalisha Sadas? Question number one. Question number two is, and this is anyone who is involved in that, and we said, just like we said at the beginning, there's a parasha theme, right? So there's a theme to the parasha, so you have to try and work out what the theme is. Anyone who gets to parashas Bar Losecha, in the seed shul, we have a shul in Edgware, and during the aliyahs, because the olam there is that doesn't understand what's going on a lot of the time, so in between the aliyahs, we just give a short explanation to the next aliyah, and we try and create, you know, the theme of the parasha. So when you get to Bar Losecha and you get to Pesach, we start talking about Korban Pesach, and then we start talking about Pesach Sheni. Why? It's Merab's Nigre. You're reading it, and you're, well, what's Pesach Sheni doing here? Well, it comes out of nowhere. If we just start talking about Pesach Sheni. So the Rishonim start dealing with it a little bit, but you don't feel that you've got to grips with the answer even after what the Rishonim have said. It's very difficult. What on earth is Korban Pesach and Pesach Sheni doing here? The Ramban says because we started with the Levim, then we moved to the Kohanim, the Avodah of the Kohanim, and then we moved to the Avodah of Yisrael. This is the only Avodah Yisrael did. It's very strange what Pesach is doing in the middle of Baal Oscha. Korban Pesach right in the middle of Baal Oscha. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to start trying to answer these questions by showing a basic yesod of kind of the first half of the parasha, and then we'll see that yesod that I'm setting up carries into the second half of the parasha, but goes completely wrong. It goes completely off track. Let's see. So if you look at the other things in the first half of the parasha, there's a very, very easy, well, it's not an easy theme, but there's quite a strong theme that pushes itself through, which is the concept of travelling. The concept of the fact that now we've set up the machane in Parashas Bamidbar and Parashas Nasoi, and we've created it and we've established it. And now we've established and we've been machanech the Mishkan as well. And now what we're doing is we're leaving Har Sinai. We're now ready as a machane to start travelling. And you see this in a few areas. First of all, when you see, you see the fact that we've got the tzivui to make the chatzotras, and the chatzotras were there in order al pi Hashem Yachan or al pi Hashem Yisol, right? So you've got the chatzotras already. But then even in terms of the actual Mishkan itself, the Mishkan when we talk about the Chanukah, we go back to the day where there was the Chanukah Sam Mishkan. We come back to it four times. This is the fourth time we've come back to it in Torah, because we've dealt with it in Shmos, we've dealt with it in Vayikra, and we've dealt with it in Bamidbar. We've dealt with it in different guises. And each time, when you look at it, you don't realize you're talking about the same day because it's phrased so totally differently. So this time, what's phrased about what's spoken about in terms of this day of the Ubayom Hakimes Amishkan? The fact that you had the Anon and the fact that you had Alpi Hashem Yisol and Ala Mishkan Yachanu Baharicha Ana is talking about the travelling, or it's talking about the Mishkan as a Mikdash that was travelling. Meaning the essence of what this is a travelling thing. It's not just that we had a Beis HaMikdash but we've got to travel. Technical issue. I know we'll solve the technical issue by adding lots of travelling things to the Mishkan. That's not what happened. The Mishkan was be'etzem, something that travelled with us. It was part of the travelling of the Machane. That was the essence of what it was. The Chatzotras, as I just said. And the fact that now in Parashas Baal Oscha, we start talking about, now we're going to start talking about leaving Har Sinai. We're actually talking about, the Rashbam says we were mamash encamped at Har Sinai. We didn't move an inch. And then we start moving away from Har Sinai. So there is definitely a process of moving away from where we were before, of travelling, of starting the journey to Eretz Yisrael, of the transition to Eretz Yisrael. That's very clear. That's very clear in the first half of the parasha, and that's very, very powerful. If you think about it in terms of what the Mishkan is. Let's start like this. First of all, let's take a step away from Har Sinai. What was Har Sinai? Har Sinai was a place where Torah Hashem came into the world, where there was absolute revelation, where it was effectively the hero of Har Sinai was Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the one that brought Torah into the world. He was the one that through him everything happened. It was a process of pure revelation. It was a process of completely Torah Hashem being revealed completely from above, and we just had to be mekablim. We had to make ourselves receive the Torah, but that's what we had to do. Now what we start doing is we start moving away from there. The Ramban in his Hakdama to Sefer Shmos explains that what the Mishkan was not just a portable Beis HaMikdash, it was a portable Har Sinai. What we're supposed to do is take the Giluyim of Har Sinai and now we function with them in this world. We function with them, we move through the Midbar with the Giluyim of Har Sinai. That's what Mishkan was. That's what it was supposed to achieve. So when you do something like that, Rav Huttner in Chanukah and Shavuos and various other places explains a basic yesod that whenever you've got, how do you ever take eternal truths, right, that your Rebbe taught you? Your Rebbe taught you X, Y, and Z, and they're eternal. They're Torah. They're not ever going to change. But there's a problem because the world changes rapidly. The world's changing all the time. So how do those eternal truths, you know, this is something, again, Seed, we deal with quite a lot. You've given me ancient principles, very nice, but we've got a modern world. So how do those two work together? You revealed the Torah, Kaf, so now we need to live like they did in ancient times? That doesn't make sense. And the truth is that we know that that's not how it works. We have Torah, which is ancient wisdom, which is the truths that the Rabboni Shalom revealed to the world. They're eternal, they don't change. But they apply themselves to the modern day. They apply themselves as to our life as we're moving along, to the changing world that we live in. How does that work? How does that happen? So Rav Huttner always used to say that whenever you hear a shir from a Rebbe, so you're hearing a shir, so there's always two parts to the education that is going on. One part of the education is what the Rebbe says. So the Rebbe says, the Rebbe teaches a halacha. Now, does he teach you everything he knows about that halacha? Not normally. The process of Noisen and Makabel is that the Rebbe has a lot more information, and any good educator knows that the key in education is not what you say, but what you don't say as well. Meaning, don't bombard with information for two reasons. Number one, you'll overwhelm. They won't have the kalim to deal with the information. But number two, more than that, is that you'll rob them of the joy of true discovery. Meaning, you give the information over. Now, there's what you've said, and there's what you didn't say. When the student comes along and listens to the Rebbe, and he hears what he said, that's very good. But when he starts to hear what he didn't say, that's much better. Meaning, he goes to the Rebbe, and says, excuse me, but does that mean that, and he extends it a bit further. If you're saying that, then it should be in that case, it will be different. If you're saying this, then it would mean, and he starts not just seeing what was said, but what was behind what was being said. He starts seeing the information that wasn't revealed. And via doing that, what's happening is now the student himself is revealing Torah that wasn't there before. Meaning, let's say he puts up his hand in the class and now the Rebbe has to say more. But that came as a result of, that came not from above, that came from below. The student worked out, it must be, and he takes it a stage further and the Rebbe says, yes, that's right. And then he reveals more Torah. So the process of Torah comes in two ways. Number one, it can come from above, revelation. But number two, it can also come from below, that I hear what the Rebbe said and I hear what the Rebbe didn't say. And when I hear what the Rebbe, when I'm sensitive enough to hear what the Rebbe didn't say, then I can actually be Megaleh more, then I can actually reveal more Torah. So when we take a step away from Har Sinai, we're moving away from the stage where there's pure revelation. We're moving away from the stage where Moshe Rabbeinu is, if you like, the hero of the story, where he is the conduit via which we are receiving Torah from above. If we had a Shiloh when Moshe Rabbeinu was there, what did we do? We went to Moshe Rabbeinu, we said, what's the pshat? And he turned around to our Kadosh Baruch Hu and he said, what's the pshat? Hashem gave him the pshat, and he told us the pshat. Right? That's what happened. In Bamidbar, there's a few times, in the Sefer Bamidbar, there's a few times where you see the process happens the opposite way round. Very clearly. We start moving away from Har Sinai, and as we start moving away from Har Sinai, the process now doesn't come purely from above, it comes from below as well. There's two classic places where this happens. One is Benoist Slavchad, where they have timers, and then Akhenesh Baruch Hu says, yes, they're right. Meaning they're Mechadesh Hilchus Yerusha. And the second place, and really the first place, is in our Parsha, Pesach Sheni. That all of a sudden, Klal Yisrael come along, and they say to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lama Nigara, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mechadesh a new mitzvah as a result of the tainus from below. As a result from the understanding of it doesn't make sense based on their understanding of Torah, based on the revelations that they had been given, based on the yesodas that they had been given, they said, Lama Nigara, it doesn't make sense. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, good, you understood. But now the Torah didn't come from above, now the Torah came from below. Makoshis was already connected, yeah. All this you say. Now, where, and they say, and Rashi says an unbelievable thing. When he talks about Pesach Sheni, Rashi actually says this. Rashi says, Rashi actually says, Ru'uya haisa parshazu lehelmer al yedei Moshe, kishar kola Torah kula. It should have been said by Moshe, like the rest of the Torah. Elishazaku, elu shetel mal yedeihim. They had the ability to be megale this Torah in the world, meaning they earned it from below as opposed to from above. So that's the basic yisod. When you start traveling, you start moving the mission. You start taking Har Sinai with you into the practicalities of your life. You start having a mishkan. You start having Pesach Sheni, and now you can understand. Now you can begin to understand the Ramban as well. The Ramban asked the kasha. He said. The Russian Ramban asked the Kasha, Lama Nismacha, and he said because they weren't involved in the Chanukah. So we asked, I don't understand. They were misnadev. You weren't misnadev. They stepped up. You didn't step up. What was the tsar? So the tsar was the fact that when they stepped up, this is another place where the Ramban brings this yesod, that the Torah came from below. The Ramban says. When he talks about the Nasiim, he says v'hi Chanukah al mizbeach b'mlo v'hina yeh inyan zu mitzvah. This became a mitzvah. Ke inyan parshas tmeim bePesach uParshas b'nei Yosef shehiskima daitam l'das elyona. That's the important point. Shehiskima daitam l'das elyona. That they were able to be mechaven their das. To the Giluyim of Torah, to the Giluyim of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. V'nitzavinu b'hem l'doros. And therefore, there was then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was maskim to them. But what they were zoiche to was that they were able to be mechavein their das. So, mechavein their das to what the Rabbeinu Shel Olam wanted. That was the tsar that Ramban, that's the tsar of Aaron. Aaron said, me and my shevet didn't do that. It's not pshat that you see everyone else being misnadev. Oh, I'll be misnadev as well. That's not what happened. Every single one of these korbanos was fitting to what needed to be happening in the Chanukah Amishkan. Everything with all of the kavanas that went behind it. Everything they aligned their das to the das to das amokan completely. He had chalishas das because we weren't able to do that. So says the Ramban. But there was a time in history where Klal Yisrael were able to do that, where Shevet Levi were able to do that, where the Kohanim were able to do that more precisely, which is Chanukah. Chanukah, there's the most, we say in our tefillahs, the most remarkable thing. We say Alanisim, then we say Rav Tais Rivam, Dam Tais Dinam, Nakam Tais Nikmasam. Let's just analyze that for a second. Rav Tais Rivam, he fought our fight. Hold on a second. The Purim, I understand it's my fight, mine. Haman wanted to kill me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes in and saves me. Fine, I understand, that's you fighting my fight. Here, what happened? The Greeks said, we want you to give up Torah. We could have just said, okay. Let's say that, we won't do mitzvahs. No problem, let's leave Torah. No, but we stood up and we said, no, we don't want to give up Torah. Whose fight is that? That's my fight? It's his fight. It's the first time in Jewish history that we got threatened in terms of not who we were, but what we believed in. But what we stood for. And that's my fight. That's the fight of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. No. The Chashmonaim understood, no, that's not the Pshat. The Pshat is that just like when you work out, when you're Machadish Torah yourself, when you hear what's behind what the Rebbe said, whose Torah is that now? That's Nikra al Shmoy. That's my Chiddush. I was Mechadish that. I was Megala that element of Torah in the world. Right? But no Slofchad. Pesach, it was there. They were Zoyche to be Megala that Torah in the world. It's theirs. So the Chashmonaim understood that when the Rabbeinu Shalom leaves us with something going on, they understood this was my fight, not his fight. They had absorbed and been connected to Torah to the extent that they understood this was my fight. Rav Tais Rivam. It's not Rabbeinu Shalom's fight. It's my fight. And when they understood it was their fight, then they can step up and they can be mechadish something. Then they can step up and they can bring Torah Shebaal Peh into the world. They can light the menorah, which is the symbol of Torah Shebaal Peh. That's what they can do. So that's the first half of the parasha. The problem is so again, the theme of the first half of the parasha is you're moving away from Har Sinai, you're moving into the mode of travelling, you're moving into the world of where you don't have as much Torah top down. You have Pesach Sheni being Mechadesh Torah. You have the concept of the Mishkan being a portable Har Sinai. A little bit of the Ramban says a portable Har Sinai. You have the expression of a remez to Chanukah, which is something that they went and did. They were Moser Nefesh, they were Mechadesh. And then you have, of course, the name of the parasha, Baha'alosecha. Rashi says, what does Baha'alosecha mean? Means, when you light a candle, it's not enough just to light the candle and take it away. You have to light the candle until it's Ole Me'elov, until the candle itself is itself burning. Not just we're giving Torah, but we're giving Torah, and then the Torah burns itself from below. What the Ramban calls the Ruach HaKodesh Shebekirbam, right? That we are able to be Mechadesh Torah in the world is an unbelievable thing. So that is the beginning of Parashas Baha'alosecha. The problem is that, as we know, then you get to a certain point in Parashas Baha'alosecha where it all goes horribly wrong. Just the end of the parasha is just one problem after another problem after another problem. The misowning them, the asafsuf, the leaving Har Sinai not correctly. We have to start breaking out with Vayhi bin Tzohar Ha'aroin in order that we can break up so many Puranas. What exactly went wrong? How did it go wrong? I mean, if you start with the misowning, by the way, what were the misowning bothered by? It doesn't say what they were bothered by. Rashi says they were bothered by the journey, by the travelling. So again, you see the theme of travelling. Been travelling for days. It's not so bothered by travelling. Then what do we reject? What do they reject? They say, there's a very funny story in the Torah where you have Moshe Rabbeinu. They go to Moshe Rabbeinu and they say, "We want meat. No, there's man anymore. We want meat." So Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Rabbeinu Shlomo. He says, "What do you want me to do now? Why am I going to give them meat? I can't carry them anymore. I can't do it by myself." So Rabbeinu Shalom comes along and says, we need skeinim. And he takes, and he's matzel a little bit of the kirch of Moshe Rabbeinu onto the skeinim. And then you have the skeinim. And then the Torah says, and now we'll give them meat. That's a funny story. Like it's like the meat and the transition from Moshe to the skeinim is all kind of mixed together in one story. If I was writing the story, I would have said like this. They came to, or if I was organizing history, which is lucky I'm not actually, to be honest, because I would have made a real fudge of it. But if I was organizing history, I would have said the following. I would have said, Moshe Rabbeinu they come to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, "We need meat. We need meat." He goes to Rabbeinu Shalom, "I can't do this anymore, it's ridiculous." Hashem says, "Okay, give them meat." He organizes the meat. And he says, "Listen, I hear your taina. It's quite a good point that you're making, that you can't do it yourself. And now let's appoint Shivim Skeinim." Meaning the two have nothing necessarily to do with each other. There's two different timers. One, they want meat. Two, there's a general broader problem of the fact that we need to delegate a little bit. But the Torah intertwines them completely together. But if you understand what's going on in the parasha, it's very clear why they're related. What were they rejecting? They want meat. What don't they want? Mon. Who brought us mon? Moshe. Moshe. The mon was b'schus Moshe. Then what happens? So they're, to a certain degree, they're rejecting the Hanhoga of Moshe. They're saying this Hanhoga of Moshe, which is top down, which is Giluyim from Har Sinai, which is revelation, which is the Rebbe, what the Rebbe says. They were rejecting that. They were saying, "We don't want that. We don't want that. We don't want that anymore. We want to move away from that." Then what happens? We do move away from that. It makes sense now. You take Moshe Rabbeinu and we start moving away from Moshe Rabbeinu. That's fine. That's good. We start moving away from Moshe Rabbeinu. That is the theme of the parasha. And then you come back to that. Now they have food. Now they get given food, which is no longer mon, which is no longer lechem min hashamayim, that they don't have to process themselves, that they don't have to absorb. They just absorb. It doesn't have any ra in it whatsoever. It's just pure kulosh ruchnius. And now they have food, which is gashmius and ruchnius, and they have to work it through, and they have to chew it over, etc. So you see that the theme is perfectly good. The problem is that the first half of the parasha seemed excellent. This moving away from Har Sinai, this moving away from revelation, this moving away from Gilum of the Torah from above, seemed like a positive thing. Megalgalim Schus Ali Dei Zachai Baha'alosecha. It seemed like a positive thing. And now when we get to here, when they want to do the same thing, it's a terrible thing. They don't like the journey. They don't like Moshe Rabbeinu. But we said that's the transition that's supposed to be happening. But there's something that's gone wrong here. So the Ramban brings it out. The Ramban brings out what went wrong. The Ramban says it's the first of the Paranias that lead to all the other problems. It says, Vayisu Mehar Hashem Derech Shlosh Shama. They left the Har Hashem by 3 days. They get out. They got out of there. Har Hashem, gone. So the Ramban says that was a problem. Right. He says because they left Har Sinai, Katinak Habayreach Mebeis HaSefer. They ran away quickly. Let's get away from the Har Hashem because we might get more mitzvahs. So here's the problem. And you'll know the experience. Unless your kids were tzaddikim from a very, very young age, everyone will know the problem from an experience with a teenager. You'll meet a teenager, and you'll say to the teenager, they've done something wrong. They've messed around with their brother, they've messed around at school, they've messed around in the street, they've messed around somewhere. And you're going to tell them now, you're going to communicate the really important message to them, that this was wrong. That this was wrong, and they need to understand that. And you do it, you're not doing it angry, you're doing it properly. You're sitting them down, you're having a good schmooze with them, you take them out for ice cream, you do the thing, you know, do everything right. And you sit there, and you start telling them, and the minute you start saying something, they get all defensive, right? And you're trying to say, okay, look, just try to understand that it's wrong. And you're trying to communicate that it's wrong to them. And then there's at one point, they say, can I go now? No, you can't go now. Of course you can't go now. That's not the point. I mean, why are you not understanding this? I don't want you, because why is that frustrating? Because I don't want you to understand this as me telling you things. I don't want you to understand this, that there was a series of things that I told you. That's the system I want you to live by, and now just do it. I want you to understand this system and make it yours. I want you to have a kinyan on what we believe in. I want you to understand that that is a wrong thing to do. I want you to be mature enough to understand that this is what I believe in, not this is what my dad believes in. This is what my father believes, my mother believes in. This is what I believe in. This is what I stand for. When a tinoik is boreach mebeis haSefer, why is boreach mebeis haSefer? Because he understands, I need to be there when I'm in school, and they can teach me what they need to teach me. But that's got nothing to do with me, thank you very much. I'm out of here now. Now I can get on with life. Now I can get on with what I need to do. Because school, the revelation has gone, and now I can get on with it. Yeah, Pseida, I know the maths now. I know the maths now. I know the physics now. I know everything I need to know now. I'll go. That's not, a Tinoch who's not by Reach Mebeis HaSefer understands, I want to understand this deep. I want to understand this more. I want to be more connected to my teacher. I want to stay with my teacher. So this is the problem. When Klal Yisrael left Har Hashem, it wasn't the fact that they were leaving, it wasn't the fact that they wanted to be independent. That's not the Nakuda. They wanted to be independent in a way in which, I'm going to leave the Har Hashem behind, and now I'll be Mechadesh in Torah. I'll say things in Torah, get on with my life, I'll apply Torah to my life, I'll make it real, whatever. No. If you're going to journey from Har Hashem, if you're going to move from Revelation to your own Chidushim, if you're going to move from Moshe Rabbeinu to the Skenim, if you're going to move away from Har Hashem, you can't be Yisu Mehar Hashem. You need to have the Mishkan, which is a portable Har Hashem, with you all the time. I want to absorb the Torah to the extent that what I'm doing is being Megalet more of the Har Hashem. I'm revealing more of the Torah that was given to me from above. I become now the conduit via which that Torah is coming into the world. It's not pshat that I'm now being mechadish things. No, I'm being megale Torah. You can only do that if you've got the perspective that I want the Har Hashem to be with me. I want the Har Hashem to be with me as I'm journeying. That was the mistake they made. They were misoinonim. They are such. We want to have. Leave us alone now, Moshe Rabbeinu. Just leave us alone. Let us get away from the mountain. Don't drive me mad. Don't tell me anything anymore. We'll do it. We'll get on with it. No. You're right. You need to move away. You need to find your independence. You need to do it yourself. But you need to do, as Revolver always used to say, L'chu vanim shimuli. Go, my sons, listen to me. It should be Bo'u vanim shimuli. Come and listen to me. You don't go and listen to me. You come and listen to me. So he says, no. When you go, that's when you can really hear what your parents needed to teach you. Because when you not need to start applying the truth that they took, and then you see, what would my, and then you say, what would my father do in this situation? What would my mother do in this situation? What would my Rebbe do in this situation? When you start thinking like that, then you never leave the Har Hashem. You stay at the Har Hashem all the time, and the Mishkan becomes a portable Har Hashem that you take with you. So the theme of Bamidbar, the theme of Baal Oscha is, we started to develop this independence. We started to move away from Har Hashem. But there's a way. There's two ways of moving away from Har Hashem. One is the first part of the parasha, that you bring the Har Hashem with you, that you bring the Geulah of Torah with you, and you understand that that's what you're doing. And that's what you're doing when you're developing this independence. What would my father say in this situation? What would my Rebbe say in this situation? And there's another way, which is I'm moving away from Har Hashem. I don't want anything to do with it anymore. I'm not interested in it. I'll apply it myself, but I don't want any connection to that Har Hashem. I don't want the pressure of living with the Har Hashem in my life all the time.
Yeah.